Years of school, long hours, and intense pressure all are part of the deal for young medical students. And once they begin practicing medicine, the amount of mental and physical stress does not subside. Suicide is not an occupational hazard that's usually discussed in the medical field, but maybe it should be, says Dr. Eva Schoenhammer. She teaches at Harvard School of Public Health and says a personal tragedy early in her career inspired her decade-long interest in the topic.
I was still a fellow in hemato-oncology, and I was confronted with a series of suicides that occurred at my hospital, the first of which was actually a very close colleague of mine, a very young resident at the time, who was overwhelmed by the workload at the oncology department.
In 2005, Schoenhammer and fellow Harvard scientists released the largest report of its kind, analyzing 25 other studies of North American and European physicians and suicide rates.
And in this combined analysis, we found that there was a higher suicide rate, which was statistically significant both for men and women, but strikingly higher for the women in those studies.
They found that male doctors take their own lives at a rate 41% higher than the general public. Female physicians kill themselves at more than twice the rate. Those numbers don't surprise Dr. Sandra Gomez, a former neurologist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. She says two colleagues have committed suicide during her 20-year career.
It always been in the back of my mind, how come in such a small circle where, 15, 20 years ago, whatever, when I trained, there weren't so many women in these fields. And I know two that committed suicide. What's going on?
Gomez believes gender bias may be partly to blame. She says women physicians face a lot more pressure than their male counterparts.
When you are a physician, when you are a young woman dealing with marriage, with kids, I mean, you know that if you make a mistake and you have a patient that is sick and that patient dies, there is no way that you can go home and disconnect yourself from where you left. And when you get home, you are it. You know, the woman of the marriage is the person that has to deal with everything that goes around in the house. And I'm not talking about washing dishes or putting the clothes in the washer and dryer and whatever. It's just everything. We have to move. I had to find an apartment. We have a kid. We need a babysitter. I had to find a babysitter.
Oh, it's definitely an issue.
Dr. Kathy Nelson is Senior Associate Dean for Faculty Development at UAB. She, too, has known colleagues who have committed suicide. Her department now has an open dialogue about the stress levels that doctors face.
We have meetings of our women faculty and women medical students about how to, quote, do it all. As traditional as it sounds, even though more and more men are taking part in child rearing and child caring, it still seems to fall more on the mother.
At a time when more women than ever are entering medical school, it's an issue that many physicians feel needs to be addressed. According to the Association of American Medical Colleges, for the first time ever, women made up the majority of medical school applicants in 2003-2004. Years ago, when Birmingham pediatrician Elizabeth Hodges was a medical student, the pressure on female students was intense.
When I was first in medical school in 1978, that's a long time ago, there were only about half a dozen women in the class. One of the women dropped out after a few weeks, and the men in the class, the professors, were frankly angry, expressed to us their frustration that she had taken a man's place, and then she didn't go ahead and proceed. Well, that put a lot of pressure on the others of us who did stick it out. And those sorts of attitudes are difficult.
Even today, women doctors say some of those gender biases exist. Anne Winglarski is an emergency room resident with UAB. This is her second residency. Her first was in orthopedic surgery at another medical school out of state.
I had thought that I had always wanted to be in orthopedics, and I got there and the residency was not at all what I expected, and I felt in an unsupportive environment.
There were only two other women in the program. She was aware of that going in, but by the time she arrived, the other female medical student had already resigned and left. Winglarski acknowledges that one of the reasons she's enjoying her second residency more is the camaraderie among the women.
There's more women in the program. There's women that are attendings. My mentor is a female attending. It's just a different environment altogether. And quite honestly, I don't think the guys get it as far as things that women feel when they're getting stressed out in residency or what have you. And it's always nice to have someone to relate to. And if you don't have that, and if you're very isolated, like how I felt in my other residency, it tends to lead to a very poor outcome.
Recently, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention co-sponsored a summit on physician depression and suicide. They talked about the barriers to treatment for depression, including lack of time, concerns about confidentiality and stigma, cost of services, and fear of documentation and unwanted intervention. It can be particularly tough for medical professionals to seek help because they worry colleagues will find out. Also, there's the issue of easy access to medications that could be used in a suicide attempt. The American Medical Association suggests there needs to be more education among medical professionals and students about recognizing and treating mental disorders and restricted access to lethal drugs. Harvard's Eva Schoenhammer says better social and family support systems are also crucial.
Each single physician who is listening right now should step back for a moment and think about their colleagues, when whether there is anyone who they think might be in need of someone to speak with. And I would encourage everyone to look after each other, because that's the most immediate thing that we could do as physicians.
Many hospitals do offer employee counseling, but it varies by facility and it's rarely mandatory. For WBHM, I'm Stacy Torch.